You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to spend the next half hour with you right now. Right now, I'm sharing out of Genesis chapter 29, a message I preached years and years ago, decades ago now, actually, about turning turmoil into triumph. And, I mean, there are some practical steps, but there are really some spiritual steps that you can take. If you think that just because you came from a broken or dysfunctional situation and that that dysfunction has got to rule and reign over your life, I want to bring a word to you. And that word is this: dysfunction does not have to define your life. God is able to heal. God is able to bring revelation. He can do a work in you even if no one else in the circumstance allows God to do a work in them. And so that's what we're talking about. By the way, I want to say thank you today to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. They've got a growing business there. I saw here not too long ago where they were looking to bring on some extra help. That was from their Facebook page. And so I'm thankful that God is blessing them. They've been friends of the Refresh Radio program for several years now. And they have also, besides the landscaping business, they've got Space Coast Nursery up at 3880 North Courtney Parkway. It's on the east side of Courtney Parkway, north of the Barge Canal. The nursery got lots and lots of products available. They're open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. Treasure Your Landscape brings decades of experience in the landscaping business to every product or every project that they undertake. They want to make sure that you're satisfied. They have a full array of products. I like the thought of landscape lighting and water features. They also have artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens. In fact, they put a putting green in at Merritt Assembly of God. I was out to eat at a restaurant, and one of the our server, he knew who I was, and he commented on the putting green. That was part of our discussion. And I said, well, Treasure Your Landscape is the people that put that in. They do landscaping services. They do paver installation. They've done that for me at my house. They've managed drains and downspouts. They can do everything from the design to the planting, the maintenance, and they are good at what they do. Dan was telling me that they have been called in by projects out of the area. This conversation goes back a while, but there was a project out of the area and it needed to be done right. So the company recommended Treasure Your Landscape, and they went down and did that project. It was amazing to watch them on the projects they've done for me, the projects they do for our church, to go in there and bring new life to a new area of dirt. So Their phone number is 321-749-1432. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio program. And we are thankful that they bring their skill set to Brevard County, bringing the goal of creating a project that your family will treasure. So thank you to Treasure Your Landscape. We're going back to Genesis chapter 29. Yesterday we were talking about Leah's passive involvement with dysfunctional people. In other words, her father, you know, did not have the greatest opinion of her. Jacob, who was her husband, was not happy that he was married to her. And one of the things that we didn't really talk about yesterday, because it doesn't really manifest itself until chapter 30, but her own sister doesn't think much of her. You know, I'm the oldest of the children in, as far as my siblings go, I'm the oldest. And a lot of times, whenever there are children involved, there can be sibling rivalries. Well, with Leah and Rachel, the younger had more physical attributes than the older did, but also had a very controlling personality. My personality doesn't jive well with that. People who come in and want to just use their personality to try and dominate or control others or me, that's not going to work out too well. So to give you an idea about my persona is I like to get along with people. I like to have joy in my life. I like to preach. I like no pain in my life. People ask me, you know, whenever I go to a doctor's appointment, are you allergic to anything? Yes, pain. I don't like pain. It causes me discomfort. So those are the type. I like to have a good time and things like that. But it doesn't mean, you know, because I have this, you know, easy-go-lucky but yet driven personality that I can't, you know, deal with things of a very serious nature. I can. Sometimes that surprises people who've only seen the happy-go-lucky side. I don't have to deal with it in an ugly manner, but I can deal with it in a very serious manner. I was in a meeting one time, and there was an authority in my life. They were in charge of the meeting, and man, this person is just got one of the greatest personalities that you ever could encounter. And I mean, I'm thankful for his presence in my life from a personal standpoint as well as from a ministry standpoint. But in this meeting, there was something that was shared, and I was there as, you know, just, I was invited to the meeting. I wasn't the focus of the meeting, but as more and more information came out in that meeting, I watched that individual, I watched their countenance change. And all of a sudden they took on, okay, now I'm stepping out of my personality and I'm stepping into the responsibility of my office. And when they did that, their countenance changed. And then they said, okay, gentlemen, we're going to need all of you except for this person to step out of the room. So I say that to say you may encounter some difficult personalities in life. Laban had a dysfunctional personality. Jacob had a dysfunctional personality. And Rachel had a dysfunctional personality. And all of that factors in to Leah dealing with some serious identity issues in her own life. Let me read Genesis 29, and I'll read chapter or verse number 21 down to verse 35. We'll do this as quick as we can. Then Jacob said to Laban, "Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her." And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah his daughter and brought her to Jacob, and he went into her, and Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah, and he said to Laban, "What is this you've done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?" Let me pause there for just a moment. I always am fascinated when people who are deceptive get so agitated and find it surprising when other people do to them what they've done to other people. Jacob was used to taking it or using manipulation and deception in dealings with other people, and here he's now the victim of deception, and he doesn't like it. I've known people that used to just no holds barred, just unleash, you know, unfettered criticism on other people, but yet they had this extreme sensitivity where you could not tell them anything about themselves that, you know, was creating problems for them in their own life. So a righteous standard says, I don't want to be a deceiver and I don't want to be deceived. And so it doesn't blind ourselves to our own sins. We deal with our own character flaws before we deal with the character flaws of others. And so verse number 26, and Laban said, "It must not be done so in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give you this one also for the service which you will serve with me still another 7 years." Then Jacob did so and fulfilled her week. So he gave him his daughter Rachel as wife also. And Laban gave his maid Bilhah to his servant Rachel as a maid. Then Jacob also went into Rachel, and he also loved Rachel more than Leah. And he served with Laban still another 7 years. Another interlude here. You and I are never called to have favorites, especially if you're talking about parents with their children. You shouldn't, you know, if you're adult children, you should not have a favorite family of in-laws and a less favorite family of in-laws. That's not going to go well. You are supposed to deal with people in a righteous and a just manner. And so the fact that Jacob loved Rachel more than he loved Leah is setting his family up for a lot of problems later on. Now, if you are parents of younger children, you cannot have a favorite child that is preferred over other children. Your children should know that they are loved. You know, John Bevere, he made a statement. He said, "I told my children," he said, I cannot love any of you more than I already love you." He said, "Now, whether or not I am pleased with you is entirely contingent upon your behavior." There is a difference between love and acceptance, or love and pleasure. So there is a huge mindset in society right now that says you are supposed to love me and because you love me, you have to accept all of my decisions, all of my actions, all of my beliefs. You cannot disagree with any of that. And I will tell you that that is a delusional approach to life. So I love my wife, and I love my wife's cooking. I tell people I did not get to have the figure that I have because my wife is a bad cook. She is a tremendous cook. And I have availed myself of her culinary talents for decades and decades. There are some things that she cooks that I absolutely love that we don't eat anymore because if I eat them, I'm going to have to go buy new clothes because I will want to eat all of it. And so we've had to adjust some of our cooking. But there was a time when I was working on a car, and the car was right outside the kitchen door, the house that we were living in. And she opened up to come and check and see how things were going for me. And when she opened the door, she was cooking something for dinner she had never cooked before. And that was curry chicken. Now, if you like curry chicken, I am perfectly okay with that. I really am. My wife loves curry chicken. I want her to be able to eat curry chicken. I want her to be able to cook curry chicken. I just don't want to be anywhere near her or where she's cooking the curry chicken because I cannot stand the smell of curry chicken. I can eat Thai curry, but Indian curry and me are just not a compatible fragrance. And so she has people from church that, you know, if they're cooking curry chicken, they'll bring her some. And there are some things I just don't particularly like that. That doesn't mean that I don't love my wife. I do love my wife. I just don't like that particular meal. Anyway, I just want to encourage you, treat your family members with love, with wisdom, with faith, with compassion, but treat them with a righteous standard. And I say that because in modern times, there is a cultural redefinition going on. One of the things that I read in headlines about some celebrities is that they go and they have made decisions that they're just going to eliminate their parents out of their life, and they're held up as being heroic. Now, I can honestly tell you, I do not know all of the circumstances that went in those people's lives. I've seen this with golfers. I've seen it with people from Hollywood, where there is not really any public acknowledgement of anything abusive that went on, just a difference of personalities, and their decision is, well, I'm going to cut that person out of my life, not realizing that they could be teaching their children to do the same thing to them. And so I find that to be very, very difficult. In the body of Christ, I had this encounter one time where there were some people, there was me, there was some other people, and we were not seeing eye to eye at this point in time. We were having a meeting I came into the meeting to fire the person. The other person came into the meeting to resign. And you might say, problem solved. Well, I told the person, I said, did you know that the Bible says that God hates divorce? And a lot of people just put that in the context of, you know, a dissolution of marriage. I said, I believe that God hates divorce amongst believers as much as he hates divorce in a marriage. It causes pain. It causes trauma. And I said, I'd label divorce a less than amicable separation, you know. So I like to be able to release people into their future with blessing. I don't want fractured relationships to be the controlling force. And so that person and I, we had a meeting. They called me the next day and they said, thank you so much for that meeting. I didn't fire him. They didn't resign. And then they made this statement. You saved my marriage. What was going on was that there was some problems in one area of their life that were manifesting in their relationship at church, and it was going to lead to, you know, a painful separation. And instead, God healed that situation. A few months later, a door of ministry opened for them. They came, they said, what do you think about this? And I said, well, other than the fact that you're moving to blizzard country in the middle of December, you know, it sounds like an amazing opportunity. Do you need an assistant? I could go with you. You know, but we were able to release them with blessing instead of it being a painful separation. So Rachel has this domineering personality. So Leah's got problems with Laban. Leah's got problems with Jacob. Leah has problems with Rachel. And God took notice. God knows about your past. God knows about the pain of the past. He knows about the dysfunction of the past, but he doesn't want your past to define you. He wants to be the defining force in your life. There's a song from way, way back, and it's called Praise the Lord. It was a song that was sung by Russ Taff and the Imperials. We praise God because he is Lord. He is the self-existent one. So there's another song, Praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm going to resist the temptation to sing the doxology for you. But God, as Lord of our lives, has greater influence than dysfunctional parents. God has the ability to be and desire to be the defining influence on our lives if we have dysfunctional relationship with our siblings. God has the ability to be the defining influence in our life if our marriage is less than perfect. We praise God. We praise the Lord because he is greater than our trauma. And I'm gonna continue to elaborate in this. This is not just a sermon. This is Bob's testimony. This is my testimony. Not because I had all of the same dysfunctions that Leah had, but there's been plenty of dysfunction that I've had through life, and God used this narrative of the creation of the 12 tribes of Israel to transform my turmoil into triumph. I don't know what victory looks like to you. Victory to me looks like a healthy relationship with God. So victory to me is not about the toys. It's not about the possessions. It's not about the bank account. It's not about the size of the church. None of that defines victory. Now I'm not going to say that there are not struggles with some of those issues, because Merit Assembly of God has always been since we've been here anyway, it's been a congregation that was constantly transitioning. People moving into the area, people moving out of the area, people moving in, people moving out. And that's what's happened. So, you know, military deployments and things like that have had huge impacts on our church through the years. And, you know, people going off to college and relocating and, you know, kids growing up and having families and being launched into ministry, that's had an impact. And not to mention people who were part of the church and then they decided that the church was no longer a priority in their life. I will tell you this, maybe no other pastor will. Whenever you make a decision like that, it is traumatic. And by that, I mean it causes trauma. It drives a pastor into his prayer closet to where he can find the presence of the Lord, who will heal the hurt, heal the pain, heal the rejection, and say, God, I want you to have dominion over this area of my life. And so whatever painful aspects you've got in your past, I want to encourage you to do this today. I want you to praise God. Praise the Lord. He never changes. He is greater than your circumstances, greater than your pain. Praise the Lord. We'll see you next time here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.